Good morning, everyone, and thank you for waiting. Welcome to BB Seguridade's fourth quarter 2018 earnings conference call. This event is being recorded, and all participants will be in a listen-only mode during the company's presentation. After this, there will be a question and answer session. At that time, further instructions will be given. Should any participant need assistance during this call, please press star O two to reach the operator. The presentation is available in the financial information presentation section of BB Seguridade's RI website at www.bbseguridaderi.com.br/en. Before proceeding, let me mention that forward-looking statements that may be made during this conference call regarding expectations, growth estimates, projections, and future strategy of BB Seguridade are based on management's current expectations. Projections of future events and financial trends that may affect the business of the group and do not guarantee future performance, since these projections involve risks and uncertainties that could extrapolate the control of management. For more information on the statements of the company, please check on the MD&A. With us today are Mr. Bernardo Roth, BB Seguridade CEO, Mr. Werner Sauvage, BB Seguridade CFO, and Mr. Rafael Sperendio, Head of FP&A, Accounting and RI. Please, Mr. Roth, you may now begin.
Thank you everyone for participating in our conference call. I just want to make a few remarks before I give the floor to Rafael to make the presentation. It's a big honor to be the CEO of BB Seguridade, one of the best and the biggest and leader in the market. It's a company that went through a big transformation last year. We are now a different company from what we were at the start of last year, after a great job done by my predecessors. We have a new team, including in our companies, in the insurance companies. We are very motivated to deliver better results in 2019 and 2020. We have big challenges ahead of us, but we are pretty sure that we can deliver, and we are going to return to increasing profitability throughout these next years. We are the leaders, as I mentioned, in the market, and that makes us a big target in terms of the competition that try to replicate what we have, our competitive advantages, or even deconstruct what we have in place. That means that we need to keep evolving all the time, changing the way we do our business, changing the products that we have to be able to compete and keep the leadership that we have. We are going to focus even more in client satisfaction and specialization of our sales force and counting on the network of Banco do Brasil. That's a very strong capacity in terms of selling insurance and our products in general. We are very, as I said, motivated, keep delivering and better results throughout 2019, 2020. With that, I would like to now give the floor to Rafael for the presentation itself. Thank you.
Thanks, Bernardo. Good morning, everyone. I'm going to take you through the presentation now. Let's start on page two, where we have the main highlights of the Q4. A recurring profit of 840 million in the fourth quarter, down 10.7% year-on-year, dragged by the 40% decline in financial results, partially offset by the 4.1% improvement in the operating result, as you can see in the chart on the lower left-hand side. The financial results suffered a lot in this quarter due to the spike in the IGPM inflation rate in the period from September to November last year, which substantially increased the cost of our financial liabilities of our defined benefit pension plans, which are no longer sold, but are still impacting our financials. So financial results at the Brazil Press had a big hit in Q4. One, we expect that was a punctual effect. It might reverse. It's already reversing. In December, the IGPM showed some deflation. But the main point is that it does not impact the income statement now. It's going to help the P&L just from the first quarter 2019 on. In terms of dividends, our payout reached 2.9 billion reais in 2018. If we add it to the extraordinary dividend paid of 2.7 billion with regards to the restructuring of our insurance partnership we have with MAPRE, it amounts to something around 10% dividend yield considering the current price of the stock. So it's very good return to shareholders. Our annualized return on equity in Q4 reached 41.4%, down 80 bps. So something that is worth mentioning here that besides the decline we had in net income of almost 11%, we haven't seen the same proportion of decline in the return on equity, which shows that when considering the moves related to the restructuring, it shows the more efficient capital allocation we have. So by restructuring our insurance company, we freed up some capital that was not really efficiently allocated. So it helped to hold the return on equity at a high level on the 40s. And we expect that it can be even higher from now on, considering a lower level of capital allocated in this operation. Another highlight we had in the quarter was the growing in the management fees of 8.5% at Brazil Pref, driven by the 9.5% increase in the assets under management at the pension segment. In premium bonds, the main highlight was related to the increase in the net interest margin of 90 bps, which helped financial results to grow 25.7% year-on-year in Q4, driven mostly by the yield curve, which flattened throughout the quarter, so it helped a lot the financial results at the premium bond company. And lastly, here we have the accounting of 276 million recorded as an additional commission at the broker. It refers to the new agreement we have in our insurance company related to our commercial performance of credit life and credit life for farmers. So in case we exceed the targets, the commercial targets for these products, the big creditor is entitled to receive an additional commission at the end of the year. So this 276 million refers to the commercial performance from April to December. It was fully recorded in December because we got the last approval from the regulators of this reorganization only in November. So it was fully booked in December. From 2019 on, this volatility will not exist anymore. We're going to book on a monthly basis according to our estimates related to how much we expect to receive as an additional commission at the end of the year. So from 2019 on, it's going to be different. We will not see this volatility in the end of the year anymore. Moving on to financial results on page 3, your lower right-hand side, you can see that financial results fell 43%, as I mentioned in the beginning of the presentation, accounting for 20% of the company's net income. Among the main factors that led financial results to post such a decline, we have the most straightforward one with the lower Selic rate, as you can see on the upper left-hand side. But the spike in the IGPM inflation index was the main drag on financial results in Q4. So this led Brazil Prep to post financial losses in Q4 for the first time in its history. So recalling that most part of the liabilities that Brazil Prep refers to the defined benefit pension plans, they are pegged to IGPM, while the assets that are backing these liabilities have a growing share of securities pegged to the IPCA, the retail inflation index in Brazil. So although in Q4, another thing that's important to highlight here, as you can see on the lower left-hand side, in Q4, the IGPM was lower than the IPCA, but it does not really reflect the performance of the financial result in the P&L, because when we look at the way that interest is compounded on the liabilities, it's worth mentioning that there is a lag effect here of 1 to 2 months. So the period from September to November is the one that's responsible for this the spike in the cost of our liabilities. So it's worth highlighting here that September and October ranked within the 4 highest inflation index of the year. So that's important, as I mentioned, to emphasize that it was a one-time effect. We can consider it a one-time. It hit the financial results in Q4, but it's already showing some improvements that we might expect from the first quarter 2019 on, because of the deflation of the AGPM in December. Well, in talking about the positive side we're having in financial results, the most important one is the move seen in the forward yield curve. As you can see, the light colors represent the beginning of the quarter and the dark colors represent the end of the quarter. So you can see that on the gray lines that the yield curve flattened in the fourth quarter 2018, which helped a lot Brazil Cap with mark-to-market gains in zero coupons and inflation-protected securities in the end of the year. Now, on page 4, we have a brief overview of the performance, the commercial performance of our life and rural operation, which also began to operate with the home insurance and commercial lines from December on. We observe here that the lines that are more correlated to the credit origination posted a very strong performance in 2018, and led premiums to grow 7% in the year, with a spotlight on credit life, which grew 20%, and a very strong performance as well in credit life and in mortgage life and in rural. Now on page 5, in terms of the operating performance of our business, because we are still in a transition period from the old formation to the new formation from December on, we have brought here, I hope you find it useful, pro forma analysis, which basically assumes the new formation as it had been in force since the beginning of 2017. So the blue line shows the numbers as reported, while the yellow line shows the pro forma figures. Another adjustment we have here is related to the commission ratio. To normalize this commission effect that was fully booked in December, so the linear, when we look at the dashed line here, it shows the normalization of this commission paid, as it has been paid since April, not fully in December. It's something that's worth highlighting here in terms of our performance, as reported, that the loss ratio increased by 4.8 percentage points, and it was mainly driven by the increase in the frequency of claims we had in rural, mostly related to the drought we had in the Midwest, and excess rain we had in the south part of the country, And in addition to that, we also observe some increase in the loss ratio related to the life segment due to a specific claim we had in a co-insurance of a group life policy we have in another insurance company. So we think that it doesn't, it's something that was maybe one of in the Q4, talking about life specifically, and should not repeat going forward. The commission ratio increased, but it was very straightforward effect coming from the renegotiation we had with MAPFRE related to this commercial performance fee that we receive. It's a function of our commercial performance in credit life and credit life for farmers. And lastly, when we look at the outcome of all these movements in the combined ratio, we can see that it worsened by 4.6 percentage points, and that is totally related to the increase in commissions and increasing in the loss ratio. On page 6, we have a brief explanation of our financial results. It fell 32% year-on-year due to a lower average Selic rate in the quarter, and also a base effect here. It's worth reminding that in the fourth quarter 2017, we booked some capital gains on stock market transactions, so it wasn't repeated in the fourth quarter 2018. So these gains amounted to 82 million, and this base effect also dragged down the financial results comparison in fourth quarter 2018. Well, the net income fell 53% year on year, and so mostly related to this increasing the loss ratio, the performance fee paid to the Recuperadora, and also the decline in financial results. They were the main tracks of earnings up at page 1 in Q4. On page 7, we bring here our performance in the pension segment. So in terms of gross deposit, we saw a decline of 7% year-on-year in Q4, greatly reducing the rate of decline that we have been observing until the third quarter of the year. Net inflows fell 36%, while redemption rate reduced by 20 bps year on year. Our pension reserves grew 9% and reached 257 billion in 2018, helping management fees to grow 8% year on year in the fourth quarter, and 10% growth in 2018. Well, on the other hand, we can see that performance of the net income of the company, it was down 37% year-on-year in fourth quarter, and was totally driven by the financial loss we had related to the higher cost of our liabilities, as I mentioned in the beginning, fully driven by the spike in the IGPM inflation rate. On page 8, we have our performance of our premium bonds operation. So collections fell by 29% year-on-year, being here Q4, the best quarter of the year. So this decline was mostly related to the hardest comp we faced, at which led collections to reverse the growth trend that was being seen since the beginning of the year, so until September. So this growth trend was reversed as it faced a hard comp in 4Q 2017. Financial results was the main highlight here of this company, with a year-on-year increase of 26% in the fourth quarter, and the net interest margin expanding 90 bps due to the mark-to-market gains we had in zero coupon and inflation-protected securities in the fourth quarter. And due to this strong performance in financial results, in the fourth quarter, the net income grew 7% year-on-year, reaching a 40% annualized return on equity in the quarter. On page 9, we have BB Corretora, so commissions grew 26% in the fourth quarter year-on-year, basically due to the 276 million recorded as an additional commission that BB Corretora received due to its performance related to credit life and credit life for farmers. By adjusting these effects, so the light blue bars in chart on the upper left-hand side, it shows that an analysis by distributing the additional commission in a linear way throughout the period from April to December. And we did the same for 2017. You might remember that we had a write-down of commissions receivable, which was fully concentrated in the fourth quarter 2017. So we also made a kind of adjustment here in revenues by splitting linearly throughout 2017. And by making these two adjustments, we can see that the brokerage income on adjusted basis declined 8% year-on-year, and dragged by the soft performance, commercial performance we had in pension plans and premium bonds in 2018. The EBIT margin increased by 40 bps, also adjusted by these effects, and reached 81.3%. It declined at 200 bps in 2018, and it was fully driven by the strategy that we had in the middle of the year, when we focused more on lower ticket products, and by doing that, we had some compression in the EBIT margin, which already reversed in the third quarter of the year, and we believe that it's going to normalize to the average we had until 2017. On page 10, we have our accountability for our 2018 guidance. We ended 2018 with net income down 9.3%, falling below our revised guided range of decline 6 to 4%. We can assign here two-thirds of this deviation to two events. So the first of all, something that completely escaped our control, was very difficult to predict, was the spike in the IGPM inflation index during the election period, which ended up impacting in a very significant way the cost of our liability related to the defined benefit pension plans at BrasilPrev. And the second was also in the pension segment, which was the exemption of the low fee. So it was something that we were already expecting. We had been cutting these fees a long time, but we were doing it more gradually, but it was not the way that market responded, which led us to cut this fee more abruptly. In the end of September, we cut all of them to zero. And the remaining a third of the deviation was assigned to the decline in the premium bonds collection, which ended up impacting the decorator's result, along with the increase in frequency of claims in life and rural in the end of the year. So these were the main drags on earnings. And to wrap up the presentation, on page 11, we have here our estimates for 2019. As you can see, we have introduced two more guidance for this year. And for net income, we expect a growth of 5 to 10%. For insurance premiums, we are working here on a pro forma analysis that is replicating the post-corporate reorganization structure of our partnership with MAPFRE for the full year of 2018. And we are also excluding DPVAT. It's a mandatory government insurance that doesn't depend on us or its performance. So we are excluding it from our comparable. And so with regards to this pro forma analysis, we expect premiums to grow from 7 to 10% in 2019. And in terms of the reserves at Brazil Prat, we expect it to grow from 7 to 10%. So with this, the presentation is over, and we can now move on to the Q&A section.
Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. If you have a question, please press star 9 on your touchtone phone now. To withdraw the question, press star 9 again. Please hold while we collect the questions. Ladies and gentlemen, our first question comes from Thiago Batista with Itaú BBA.
Hi, guys. Thanks for the opportunity. I have one question about the possible impact of the pension reform on BB Seguridade business. We saw in 16 a material increase in the pension inflows during the discussion for the pension reform. Do you believe we can see something similar now? And also, what are the main impacts that you believe the potential approval of the pension reform should have in the BB Seguridade business?
Thank you, Thiago, for the questions. Bernardo speaking here. Well, you know, we consider that the pension reform is going to be very positive for the country as a whole. For our, you know, pension business, it's a more medium to long-term impact. We may see, you know, some people running to do something this year, but it's not something that we are expecting or putting in our numbers. But it's a very positive thing in the long run, right, because it's going to increase the need for and pension plans and so on. So it's positive in the long run, medium to long run, maybe next year, more than this year. So that's how we see it. You know, although, again, we consider that pension reform should be approved this year, that's the impact that's going to come over time. But the pension reform also can increase confidence in the market and so on and so forth, and that can impact unemployment in Brazil. And, you know, decreasing unemployment and increasing available income, disposable income by Brazilians overall is very positive for any insurance business. So we see that as, you know, with positive impacts in other parts of the business as well.
Perfect. Thanks, Bernardo.
Our next question comes from Mario Pierre with Bank of America.
I'm asking two questions. The first one, I'm trying to reconcile your guidance for 2019 of growth of 5 to 10% in net income. Because when we look at your operating results in 2018, excluding financial results, they increased 3%. So I would imagine that under a better economic environment that this should be growing faster. And then on the other hand, when we think about the financial results that declined 40% in 18, I would imagine it has to be much higher in 19 because interest rates are unlikely to be much lower in Brazil. So I'm trying to understand why 5 to 10%, it seems conservative to me. If maybe you can give us a breakdown of what you expect in terms of operating results and financial results, and what is the Selic rates that you have embedded on your guidance. Similarly, when I look at the premium growth that you're guiding for the SH1 segment of 7 to 12%, it's not much higher than what you reported in 18 or 7%. Also, when you talk about growth in reserves, the Brazil Prev of 7 to 10, it's actually lower than the 10% that you delivered in 18. So I'm just trying to understand why do these forecasts seem so conservative? Thank you.
Hi, Mario. Rafael speaking. So first of all, the assumption that we have in guidance for Selic rate, we expect it to remain flat for the full year. So we don't expect any increase or decrease in interest rates throughout 2018. In terms of the operating performance, it's worth mentioning that we expect it to increase. If we were to break it down, the guidance in terms of operational performance and financial results, I would tell you that we expect the operational performance to be more close to the top of this guidance, while in terms of financial results, our expectation for 2018 is that it can pose even a decline, right? And why? It's worth mentioning that part of the contribution of financial results used to come from SHU. It's not part of our conglomerate anymore. So because of the exit of SHU, we can expect a decline in financial results. If we were to compare apples to apples, of course, it might post an increase, but not the reality. No, we need to compare the numbers with the ones reported in 2018. And because of these effects, financial results might decline. Well, related to the expectation we have in premium growth, we are very optimistic with the performance in the lines that are correlated to credit origination. So credit life and mortgage life, these ones might be the main drivers for premium growth in 2019. Of course, with a different mix, credit life used to grow until last year, more concentrated on individual segments. We expect that the SME segment might show some recovery in 2019. But overall, these are the main drivers. But in regards to the performance in term life, of course, it's something that accounts for 40% of the premium we have in SH1. So it's hard for such a big portfolio to grow in a such fast pace. So that's why when we analyze our performance in 2018, that premiums grew 7% in 2018, we are now using these 7% as the bottom of the new guided range. So we are expecting a very good performance, but it might be gradual, of course, according to the improvement in the activity in the economy. What we believe, it's going to show some more, I would say, material improvement from second half on. That's why what is embedded in our guided range for net income. And the same, okay, for reserves at the pension segment. One of the main drags we have is related to the lower Selic rate. Of course, it's not a big decline as we have in 17 and 18, but it's still a decline. So the 7 to 10%, that's a lower Selic rate, considering that we are assuming that we will offset part of it with some recovery in pension inflows, but it's still a significant impact that we have in AUM growth.
Okay, just a quick follow-up. You know, on your management fees at Brazil Prev, they stayed flat on a quarter-over-quarter basis, I think for the first time in a while, at 1.08%. I think we were used to seeing this decline at least 1 basis point per quarter. Does it mean that the pressure on asset management fees are over and then we should expect them flat, or is there some seasonality here in this figure?
There are no seasonalities. It's the main thing is that it declined quarter on quarter, but you can see because of the rounding. So that's something that's important to note. Of course, that if the SELIC stays at 6.5% for longer, this competition might increase, and of course we need to respond to it by providing more qualified advisory, financial advisory services to clients in order to improve their capital allocation and to increase their exposure to private securities and to the stock market itself. But we expect, and if we were to consider a trend for management fees, is that it will keep declining, but at a lower pace every quarter. You know, if you remember, it used to be 300, 200 bps per quarter, reduced it to 200, 100 bps per quarter, and now it's more close to 100 bps per quarter.
Just to add, it's part of our job to offer, you know, new set of products to our clients in the pension plans, so we can have funds that carry a higher fee, right? So it's part of what we've been doing. So, you know, that's going to be a positive impact on one side, but on the other side, we want to increase the participation also of low-income, middle-income people in pension plans. They tend to be more, you know, conservative in terms of what they do. They are going to compare more to savings than anything else. So fixed income funds tend to grow, although with a higher, you know, management fee in these, middle income type of clients than what we charge in private banking clients, for example. They tend to be lower than, you know, the multi-mercado funds and, equity funds and so on and so forth. So the trend over time, we tend to grow the participation, the total management funds through these type of higher management fee type of funds, okay?
Okay. Thank you very much.
Ladies and gentlemen, as a reminder, if you'd like to pose a question, please press star 9. Ladies and gentlemen, once again, as a reminder, if you'd like to pose a question, please press star 9. Ladies and gentlemen, our next question comes from Eduardo with Banco Plural.
Hi, everyone. Thank you for the opportunity. This is Nishio here. Question to Bernardo. Bernardo, congratulations for the new post. Just wondering if you, as a few days you've been in charge as a CEO, just wondering your views and what you can do, any changes you can do to make BB Seguridade growing a little bit faster than it has been for the past few years. If you can give us your impression and what is strategy to boost earnings, I would appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you, Nishio, for the question. I can tell you that the first, you know, two quarters of the year is pretty much done, right? Because we have a lot of inertia in what we do. So we are going to see the good job done in last year that's going to start to reflect in the results that we are going to see this year. What I'll try to do here is to focus on client satisfaction to make things more sustainable over time, given that the increasing competition, InsurTechs coming to the market and so on and so forth. So we have to increase client satisfaction with our products. We have to increase, you know, the Banco do Brasil employee satisfaction in selling our products. So we are going to focus pretty much in improving our products, improving the process of selling our products throughout the different channels, right? The digital journey has to improve, and we are going to do a lot of things in terms of that, because we have also a new broker, right, the digital broker Ciclic. So we have to improve the portfolio of products in Ciclic to grow. So we have several measures that we are going to focus from now on to make, you know, results improve sustainably over time, right? Not only thinking about 2019, but also 2020 and so on. So, you know, focus on client satisfaction, improvements of products, and the process of selling our products. That's the main drivers of our strategy in this year.
Okay, thank you so much.
Ladies and gentlemen, this concludes today's question and answer session. I'd like to invite Mr. Bernardo Holt to proceed with his closing statements. Please, Mr. Holt, go ahead.
You know, I just want to thank everyone for participating in our conference call, and to, you know, keep, you know, you have all our IR team at your disposal to clarify any doubts that you may have in terms of our, you know, our performance last year and what we expect for this year. So thank you very much, and see you next conference in the next conference call. Bye.
With this, we conclude BB Seguridad's conference call for today. As a reminder, the material used in this conference call is available on BB Seguridad's Investor Relations website. Thank you very much for your participation, and have a nice day. You may now disconnect.